all people who are with him are going to come, those who are alive and remain on this earth, which tells us, by the way, that man will never be able to destroy himself. Not a nuclear bomb, not a major catastrophe. Man does not have the ability to erase, to eradicate, to vaporize himself on this earth. Only God is going to terminate what you and I know to be the order of this earth. We can do a lot of damage to ourselves, and we've seen that. And we can see a lot of loss of life, and we've seen that. But when Jesus comes, the Bible says, those who are alive and remain will be caught up to meet those who are already in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The Encouraging
Word. That unique voice you've just been hearing is Dr. Don Wilton. We are The Encouraging Word, featuring the Bible-based teaching of Dr. Don, well-known author, evangelist, and pastor, continuing today in a message we began yesterday about our great high priest. God is ready to intercede for you on your behalf himself. His son, Jesus Christ, is our high priest. And as we discuss that together today, you'll understand the biblical basis on how we can trust God in this. As we study, know that we're available for you. We'd love to pray with you, pray for you right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673, or online at theencouragingword.org. Now, Dr. Don Wilton.
In Revelation chapter 19, once again, I saw heaven open. This time there's no discussion about a door. In Revelation 4, heaven opens in order to receive believers into heaven. In Revelation chapter 19, heaven opens not to take us up into heaven, but to let Jesus and all believers out of heaven. You with me? Now, we've got a picture up there somewhere where you and I battle to understand. Up, we know it's up because Jesus went up when he came out of the grave, when he ascended on the Mount of Olives. Jesus went up. We know heaven is up, and we know he went up to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, the Bible's about to tell us something. I just read to you something. Jesus is our high priest because he passed through the heavens. The temple that is spoken of in the Old Testament and leading up to AD 70, which was 40 years after Jesus died, looked something like this. It was an elaborate structure. And surrounding temple worship was every kind of conceivable effort to try and come into the presence of God. For example, they would wash themselves. It was called ceremonial washing. They would bring in all kinds of sacrifices. By the way, do you remember when Jesus came into the temple? What was it that he found there? He found money changers, right? He found those that sold sheep and oxen and doves. Why were they selling sheep and oxen and doves, do you suppose? Because that was part of temple worship. And from the time of Aaron, only the priest could go into that part of the temple. Only the high priest. There were only about 63 high priests elected or appointed from the time of Aaron until the time that we are talking about right now. Now, there were many priests, thousands of priests, but only one high priest, only one chief priest. And he was the one who would go into the Holy of Holies. He was the only one. And he was the only one who could have direct access to God. And when he went into the Holy of Holies, he petitioned God in behalf of the people. That's how they came to hear from God, and that's how they came into, quote-unquote, into contact with God. And so once a year, to make atonement for the people, the high priest would enter into the Holy of Holies. What did he do? He would enter the outer court, he would go through the holy place, and he would go into the Holy of Holies. The problem was that Jesus came because man could not, he could not satisfy the requirements of a righteous and a holy God. It was not enough. Man kept failing in his pursuit to have peace with God. And so God so loved this world that he gave his only Son, the Lord Jesus, to come down to this earth and to take upon himself the sin of the world, yet he himself knew no sin. And he went to the cross and he gave his life. He gave his body to be broken. He gave his life, his blood was shed. So that through him, when God raised him from the dead, through the resurrection of Jesus, he conquered sin and death and the grave. So that when you and I give our hearts and lives to Jesus, when we confess our sin to him and repent of our sin, as the Holy Spirit draws us into the heart of God, so it is that we are brought into a reconciled fellowship with God, which allows us to come and to approach the very throne of God with confidence. Now, the tabernacle therefore became only a limited copy of the real thing. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood." This is the way you do it. You no longer go through the temple. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." This is the better way, because I am the Christ. Now, you know how much I love Israel. Love the Jewish people, love Israel. I go there every year. I'd go 6 times if I could. I think that the whole nation of Israel, everything about God's children there is so tied into eschatology and end times and walking where Jesus walked. And we know all these things. But do you know that 40 years after Jesus died in AD 70, that temple that I showed you was burned to the ground. It's never been rebuilt. It's no longer existent. There are no sacrifices there anymore. There's no temple. The only place the old covenant could sacrifice. There are no high priests. The only person who could sacrifice according to the old covenant. Now, we know that every year the Jewish people celebrate Yom Kippur. Heard of that before? Yom Kippur, very important. I'm deeply respectful, deeply honoring of our Jewish friends in their celebration. What are they doing? It's a very holy day, Yom Kippur. It's commemorating the Day of Atonement, but there's no high priest there to offer sacrifices, and there's no temple in which to offer that sacrifice, and there will never be any need for another high priest or another temple, because Jesus Christ is our high priest. Let me tell you how he did it. He passed through the heavens. Now just take a look at that. I'm going back to the book of Ephesians. Bible says in verse 14 of chapter 4, "Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens." Well, what do the scriptures teach us here? There are 3 expressions of heaven. Number 1, you ready for this? The atmospheric heaven. Now, I'm not going to get into stuff where it's dangerous for me to go, because I know there's a lot of experts in matters pertaining to the atmosphere. Could I put it in our terminology? Gravity. It's called gravity, isn't it?
What goes up must come down. Oh boy, man has tried everything he can to defy gravity. We send spaceships and all those other kinds of things. The atmospheric heaven is the first heaven. It's this zone in which created man dwells. It's this air that we breathe. It pertains to the human spirit. It's essentially about us. So what's the second heaven? The second heaven, otherwise known as the stellar space. So you get the atmospheric heaven, then you get the stellar, S-T-E-L-L-A-R heaven. That's the second heaven. The second heaven is space. I've always thought I'd love to do that. If the church would just sponsor me, I'll go and visit with those Russians, get on one of those things. I'd just like to have that floaty feeling. You watch our astronauts, they do it. That has to do with the stellar heaven. It's that place up there that exists that man can see, but man does not fully comprehend nor understand, even though we try very hard to. It's the floorboards of heaven. It's outer space. It's this vast galactic orbit. You know, when you look at all the stars and you think about the fact that this great God hung the stars and the moon in place, the majestic magnificence of God's created universe. But you know, God doesn't live there. So let's just settle two things right now. God does not have his throne on this earth. He owns earth. He sent Jesus down to this earth. And just by the way, and I'm going to come back to this, just in case we're concerned about that, in John chapter 17, just before Jesus died in the garden of his betrayal, Jesus actually spoke to God the Father. And he said, Father in heaven, I have completed the assignment you gave to me to accomplish concerning the redemption of mankind on this earth. Would you now restore me back to my place at your right hand in heaven? I'm coming back to be with you.
You're listening to the Bible-based preaching of Dr. Don Wilton, our teacher here on The Encouraging Word, and he'll be back with the completion of this message in just a moment. But if you'd like to connect with Dr. Wilton, maybe on social media or in other ways, go to our website, theencouragingword.org. You'll find Dr. Wilton's Twitter handle, as well as all of our points of connection through Instagram, IGTV, Facebook, whatever you're doing socially, we are as well, and sharing the love of Jesus Christ right here at The Encouraging Word. Again, the website is the resource to connect you with everything, theencouragingword.org, or old school is good with us as well. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you on the phone at 866-899-WORD, 866-899-9673. Connect you with one of us 24 hours a day. And at any time, we would love to pray with you, pray for you, and maybe connect you some resources that will help you grow in your faith. One of our favorites is the Daily Encouraging Word, whether you can receive it physically or email-aphonically. Connect with God's Word on a daily basis, and it will revolutionize your life. Discover more at theencouragingword.org. You can sign up right there for your Daily Encouraging Word email, or you can text us right now at 30500. Just text the word daily. That's right. One word, daily, to 30500. We'll send you a quick link and sign you up for the Daily Encouraging Word emails from Dr. Don Wilton. Now back to today's message with Dr. Don.
So, number one, we've got atmospheric heaven. Number two, we've got stellar heaven. That is outer space. You ready for the third one? This is the big one. The Bible tells us about the throne of heaven. Three heavens, atmospheric heaven, the stellar heaven, and the throne of heaven. The throne of heaven is God's abode. It's the galactic place where God dwells. It's where the throne is. In 2 Corinthians, for example, chapter 12, the Apostle Paul speaking there speaks about the third heaven. In fact, he even uses the designated phrase paradise. I like to think that the third heaven, which is the throne of heaven, is the place of paradise. Now hold on, everybody hold on, okay? So let's go on a journey. You and I are part of atmospheric heaven. Number two, there is stellar heaven, outer space, the moon, the stars, minus gravity, which applies only to the atmospheric heaven. Then there is the throne of heaven, the place where God lives. Now watch this. Get your Bibles quickly. I've got to just show you this. Go to Revelation chapter 21. Just quickly turn to Revelation 21 as quickly as you can. Because in Revelation chapter 21, folks, please, just look at me one more time. Before the book of Genesis, this is in the beginning, this is before the beginning, because God always is. Everything I've spoken about, atmospheric heaven, stellar heaven, and the throne of heaven were just one. Everything was where God dwelled. Then in Genesis chapter 1, God made the heavens and the earth. So God, in his creative genius, spoke into the separation between atmospheric heaven, stellar heaven, and throne of heaven. God did that. And in that scheme, he gave to man this earth to live on in the midst of atmospheric heaven. Perfect place. But man destroyed it through sin. Jesus came, paid the price so that man could once again be readmitted into the presence of God. And when she gives her life to Christ, becomes a new creature. When Jesus comes back again to this earth, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, when Jesus comes back to this earth, he brings with him all those who are in heaven. He never goes back again. He never goes back up again. Because the picture we have at the end of the Bible is once again of the recreated creation of God's original purpose for all mankind. We become one in him. And the picture we have of God is of one. We see him once again as God. He always is three. But in Revelation 19, Jesus the Christ is released to come back to this earth to finish final business. There's the battle of Armageddon. There's the great white throne judgment. There's the incarceration of the unholy Trinity. There's the separation of the sheep and goats judgment. All of these things. And when we get to chapter 21, let me read it to you, folks. Here it is. Watch this. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Did you see that? Because the first earth had passed away and the sea was no more. The word sea there, literally translated, there was no more separation between atmospheric heaven, stellar heaven, and the throne of heaven. No more separation. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. Watch this. And from God, as a bride adorned for a husband, and I heard a loud voice. Where's the voice coming from? Someone tell me, where's that voice coming from? From the throne. Remember, the third heaven is the throne of heaven. Here's the voice. The voice coming from the throne saying, this is God speaking. And what does God say? Behold, the dwelling place of God is from this moment on with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. What happens when God, at the end of the world, comes down, so to speak, to join with Jesus in Jerusalem and with all believers in Christ? All of a sudden, we go back to before the book of Genesis, because we are now going back to the beginning. The beginning is being fused now with the end. This is the essential meaning of what it means to be made brand new. We're going back to the Garden of Eden. We're going back into a full and complete, beautiful relationship with a holy and a righteous God. And God is going to walk among us in the breeze of the air. And there are going to be trees and fruit to eat. And there's going to be rivers and lakes. And there are going to be cattle and sheep and doves. There are going to be everything you and I can ever possibly imagine, just as it was in the Garden of Eden. And there is going to be no more separation between the atmospheric heaven and the stellar heaven and the throne of God heaven, because in Jesus Christ we have all been made one, and so shall we ever be with the Lord Jesus. Isn't that great? Gosh. I haven't even started explaining this to you. But somebody here today doesn't need any more explanation, because you know that Jesus paid the price for you. You know it. He's our high priest. This is why we can come before him with confidence. When we come into his presence, we find mercy. We receive grace. This is who he is. Do you know him? Do you know this Jesus? Have you trusted him as your Savior? I beg of you today, open your heart to Jesus. Give your life to Christ. Invite him into your heart today. Our world is a precarious place. Not one of us knows when Jesus will come back. Only the Father does. Not even the angels know. But I tell you, the operative question is, are we ready? And if God is speaking to your heart, give your life to him today. Say yes to him today. You can pray a simple prayer. Say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I just give my heart to you. I just invite you to come into my heart today. Just do it. Give your life to Christ. There's no greater peace in all the world. You can know today, one day when you die, if Jesus were to come back first, that you're going to go to heaven. You're going to be with him forever. You're going to live in this recreated paradise forever. Ever, forever. World without end. It will never stop. That's the eternal blood of Christ. He's our high priest. You can go straight through him. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. No man can get or come to God the Father, accepting through him. He's the one. Give your life to him today.
It is a forever day, an opportunity to see God do something remarkable in your life. Know that we'd love to pray with you and for you. The way to connect is keyboard to keyboard on our website at theencouragingword.org. Or if you'd like, we'd love to take a phone call from you right now at 866-899-WORD. Jot it down, store it in your cell. We answer this 24 hours a day, 866-899-9673. We'd love to speak with you, pray with you, connect you with resources that'll help you grow in your faith. Now, before we get away, our pastor has perhaps the most important thing to challenge us with next.
Are you ready? Would you pray this prayer with me right now? Dear God, I know that Jesus loves me and that he died on a cross for me. Today, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus, and I give him my heart and my life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer from your heart and you've given your life to Christ, I welcome you to the family of God. You are my brother, my sister in Christ. Let's get engaged together, because we are connected together forever as believers in Christ. And don't leave whatever you do, because I'll be right back.
If you've given your heart to Jesus Christ today, if you've rededicated your life, if you've come home to a personal relationship of this loving Jesus, yours and my great high priest, then you need to tell somebody. And why not tell us? We would love to put resources in your hands that will help you grow in the next step to get deeply rooted in the power of God's Word, God's encouraging Word. Give us a call at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to speak with you, to pray with you, again, and put things in your hands, resources that will help you grow in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Again, that phone number is 866-899-9673, or meet us online at theencouragingword.org. And that website, theencouragingword.org, will connect you with a world of resources. Resources like the books that Dr. Wilton's written, one of my favorites, Totally Secure. Here's Dr. Don with details about this particular book.
You know, in all my years of sitting at the feet of Dr. Billy Graham, he said this to me. He said, Don, the most important thing in life is to know that you belong to Jesus. And then he said, the second most important thing is that you know that you belong to Jesus. He encouraged me to write this book, Totally Secure, to help you find the answers to these important questions. That's why he endorsed this book of mine. I want you to have a copy of this book. I want you to have the assurance that you are going to heaven. Please pick up the telephone right now and call the number on the screen and request your personal copy of Totally Secure. The Encouraging Word broadcast ministry is supported by viewers and listeners just like you who want to make a difference in the world. So thank you for requesting my book, Totally Secure. Your financial support enables us to continue moving forward for Christ.
Now the number to connect with us is 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. And it's a unique opportunity. It's routed to us even in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. We would love to be your 2 a.m. friend to pray with you and for you. Feel free to call us anytime. That's 866-899-9673 or meet us online at theencouragingword.org.
Thank you for your partnership with The Encouraging Word. God's doing great and wonderful things. And I want you to know that I pray for you. I want to pray for you right now. In fact, you can see that number on the television screen. We've got people 24/7 praying for you. You can call in your prayer requests at any time. Let me pray for you right now. Dear God, I want to pray for my precious friends right now and for someone especially in need of prayer. Lord Jesus, please touch them. Touch their lives and be a blessing to them today in every way. And I pray this in the strong and wonderful name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.